You are listening to a message from Tight Knots. Tight Knots is the marriage ministry at Jesus House, and our vision is to see couples build Christ-centered marriages that will last a lifetime, be a light to the world, and leave a legacy to future generations. Thank you for listening. Please visit our website at www.tightknots.org for more information.
And you know, because we're talking about the spirit-led marriage, it's our proximity to the Holy Spirit that helps in these areas. For what we're looking for really is what the Bible talks about in Galatians 5 verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. And the more yielded we are, the more restraint, self-control, the more patience comes upon us. Amen? Praise God. Amen. Okay, any questions on any of that so far? Yes, no? Go on, talk to me. Okay. I've got a few minutes before I wrap up. Share some analogies with you just to help you understand marriage a bit more. God would speak to Ife and I with a lot of analogies. That's why it was very simple for us in terms of understanding what we had to do with marriage. So I'll just share a few analogies with you just to drive home some of what I've said as the foundation. You know, the way God intended it, man and woman. Yeah, you've got a question? Okay, that's good. I'll take it. Do we have a spare mic? You can actually use this and then I can use that. Wait, did this make sense to you? Because you guys are looking so subdued. It's a good journey. We're getting there. Amen. Okay.
Praise God. As women are the helpmate of men, yeah, how will a woman know the right guarding for the man so that you don't make him to do your own guarding?
Fantastic question. Absolutely fantastic question. The final arbiter must be the Holy Spirit. Yeah? And then there are certain things that help that process, you know, as the Holy Spirit is revealing. You see, it's the man who must be envisioned. And so you can't get the vision for the family. Does this make some sense? So your help is you're praying for him to be envisioned for the family. You're praying for him to find that garden. Now the tendency is to want to step in. And this is a big challenge for most women because a woman is wired to help. A woman starts to malfunction when she can't help. You know, it's like a machine that starts to go funny because the machine has been programmed to help. Yeah? And if there isn't restraint, the woman, because she sees a vacuum, steps into the vacuum and takes over. And sometimes it works for a season, but it can't work indefinitely, because that is not how God intended it to be. You know, a classic area is in the area of finances. Yeah, the guy is a mess with the finances. You know, it just messes the whole thing up. The natural tendency is for the woman to take charge of the finances. If the woman takes charge of the finances, she's going to be a frustrated woman by the time she dies. Because the woman, I did a poll, a survey with women, and the results would shock you. Most women don't mind working. Most women resent having to work. Does it make some sense? Yes. Women want to work to help the family. But it's a frustrating pain for them if they feel, I can't walk away from this job when I want. Women, isn't this true? And it's not that they're going to walk away from the job, but they like to know that I can. And yes, if I walk away, our standard of living might reduce, because my income, with addition to his income, increased our standard of living. But I'm not held to ransom by this job. Women, isn't that true? Yeah. Tell the guy next to you, speaking to you. That and all that is biblical, you know. The man, you know, was there to make provision. Now, in a modern world, the woman comes along, and don't believe all this stuff that you hear out there, you know. It takes the grace of God to have a woman as the provider in the home, long term. There are usually blips, you know, blips where God is teaching the man humility and all kinds of stuff. Blips. But it's a wilderness experience, not a forever experience. Yeah? And it takes tremendous, supernatural, unbelievable grace for a woman to be the provider and for it not to create challenges in the marriage. It takes a lot of grace. A lot of grace. But the ideal situation in a modern world is that a man must be able to put a roof over their heads, clothes on their back, on their backs, and food on the table. Now, he might say, I can do it at this level. If with your income, we can increase the level. But if you don't decide you don't want to work, we downsize, but I can do it. God has given me the grace to do it. Does this make some sense? Yeah. Does that help answer that question? Go on, ask. That's the general idea. And calling.
Not in terms of finance, yeah. In terms of career and calling.
Yeah, your role is to help him.
To pray.
The basic help you're giving him is in the place of prayer,
yeah.
And in encouraging him.
Okay.
Yeah? You know, there's something Miles put so graphically. You know, sometimes even just looking at the natural configurations of a woman and a man, you can tell a lot of things. You know, sometimes the natural speaks very loudly about the spiritual. Now women are incubators. Yeah, they incubate babies. They put a baby in them, the baby stays in the womb, and then after a while, the baby is born. Now, it's very interesting that what you put in them is not what comes out. That's very instructive. For you put a sperm in them, and they give you a whole child. And that's how women are. You put something in them, they incubate it, they multiply it, and they give it back to you. That's why if you give a woman stress, she gives you mega stress. That's how it works. That's how it works, guys. Trust me. Now, in the same way, if you put a vision in a woman, she incubates that vision. And oftentimes, that how God works is amazing. At your lowest moments, she comes back to you with what you gave her. But it's been multiplied, it's been incubated in her, and it serves to lift you up at your lowest moments. Amen. So that's how it works, my sister. So that's why we encourage the guys, share vision with her. Now it's not you know there's a couple who were counseling, you know, and this had a big challenge. Share vision with her, and the guy was very formal, so he would type out the vision and call her for vision sharing sessions. And the woman switched off as soon as it started, because a woman is relational. She doesn't want a board meeting in her house. You know, she wants to feel you and know that you feel her. So guys, when we're saying share vision with her, it's not a formal, you know, board meeting, you know, kind of, it's now the Adeaga household sharing vision session. It's nothing like that. It's just out of that relationship, share with her my dreams, my ambitions, my fears. Just pour it into her, you know. And we'll talk about sex later. But one of the best times to share vision with your wife is after you've made love. Best time. It serves a number of purposes. Yeah, I'll tell you what it does. Number one, she's feeling closest to you at that moment. She's feeling like she can do anything for you. Number two, every time a woman sleeps with a man, even her husband, because she gives her body, there is a slight element of vulnerability that needs you to confirm acceptance. And there's no better way to confirm that you're a part of my life than for me to share vision with you about our life, and you can see your role in the life. Does this make some sense? Yeah. So that's what a woman does. She's there praying. She's there encouraging. You know, she's standing by him, believing. And ladies, men are suckers for affirmation. Don't mind that macho man next to you. He's desperately looking for who will affirm him. Desperately. You know, I was shocked to hear the GO say, our general overseer, for those of you who are not in Redeemed, our general overseer, he comes down from preaching and still looking to his wife, Mommy GO, to say, that was a good message. After 40 years, you're still looking for that? But that's how men are. Yeah, we're looking for that encouragement. That's why, say, ladies, that's why, learn to thank a man for even the little that he has done. You know, in many homes is a problem. The man is saying, okay, I know we haven't done it all, but can somebody thank someone for this one that we've done? Isn't that the case, guys? At least let somebody appreciate this one. This thing has been done by somebody. See the guys clapping? That tells you. Somebody said yes, so. But that is really, it's really the case. And you know, men are incredible. The moment they appreciated, I mean, look at the way the Bible puts it. I mean, you won't believe that this is in the Bible. If I read this to you. So somebody is looking for some appreciation. Just, you know, let somebody just appreciate somebody for this effort. Look at what the Bible says. If this wasn't in the Bible, you could actually discountenance it. It says, I'm reading the Amplified Version, you know. It says, Ephesians 5, verse 33. It says, however, let each man of you without exception love his wife as being, in a sense, his very own self. Yeah, so that's number one. It's saying, men, love your wives as yourself. Now, we're trying to throw so much, but just grab what you can. There's always a question with submission. Yeah? Is that a hot potato, this submission thing? It's actually not complex. Again, we did another poll with women. You know, all you've got to do is ask people the questions, they answer it for you, and you have your solution. Most women want to be submitted. But they want to be submitted to someone they know has their back. That's what the Bible describes, where the Bible says that the man love her as you love yourself. Nobody, I mean, it's an easier life to be submitted. So we are submitted to Christ. And why are we submitted to Christ? Because we know Christ has our back. While we are still thinking about it, in fact, before we even have thought about it, Christ has made provision. Who doesn't want to submit to that kind of man? The reason women don't submit is a natural self-preservative instinct. If I don't fight for myself, whether overtly or covertly, open warfare or guerrilla warfare, if I don't fight for myself, nobody has my back in this home. Sisters, isn't that the case?
Yes.
So the moment a woman finds a man, and submission does not mean I'm less than you, because the Bible is clear that these are equals. But submission means that I take my place in an ordained structure from heaven. I perform my function. That's what submission means. I take my place. Now, anybody's going to take their place if they know that the overall leader has their back. Amen? So how does the Bible encourage us to have the woman's back? He says, listen, he says, love her as much as you love yourself. First, he said, love her like Christ loved the church. And then I reckon God kind of figured out there's going to be questions and debates. You know, what level does Christ love the church? You know, and it becomes a theological debate. And God said, I make it easy for you. You know how you love yourself, love her. Now, that's simple. You know, because you know how you love yourself, love her as much as you love yourself. And that speaks of a whole volume, you know, sacrificial love, sacrificial giving. Thinking about her, you know, before she even thinks about it. If you ask women, it's a wonderful feeling to be loved by a man as much as he loves himself. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, what it means is that the man is constantly thinking about you and your welfare. Constantly. Don't have to remind him. You know, when you find that kind of love, there's a way Dr. Nuzo describes it. Dr. Nuzo says that the extent of discomfort you are willing to go to is an indication of the love you have for your wife. Does this make some sense? Jesus was willing to the extent of his discomfort was to the level of giving his life. That was real love. To leave the whole pomp and pageantry of heaven and come down and give his life. That was real love. So you find couples where the man is not ready to be in any way, enter any level of discomfort. So the sales comes. A real man who knows that his wife has a passion, he cuts down a bit just so that she can go and spoil herself. The signs of love. Yeah. She's out late and he's in bed, but he can get out of bed to go and pick her at the station. It's a bit of a nuisance. It's discomfort. But the thought of her walking from the station alone, it says, no, I'll come and get you. Does this make some sense? Yeah. Just little things like that. That just show. So says to the man, love her as much as you love yourself. And if you're not sure what that is, look at the love Christ has for the church and love her. And incidentally, guys, that loving her is not an emotional thing. It's a volitional thing. It's a decision. I've just decided to love you. That's it. The emotional part kicks in with the decision. It's just like I've decided to forgive you. And because I've decided to forgive you, grace now comes to help me with the healing and the forgetting. But it's a decision. You know, a lot of us are waiting for magical things to help us make that decision to love her. No, she can't cook, love her. Yeah? Love her. Because Christ loved you while you were yet a sinner. So love her while she's still cantankerous. And love her into being a virtuous woman. Amen? And it's a decision. It has nothing, and it has nothing to do. You see, if you were single, then I'd be teaching how you make that decision. But it's a bit too late for you. You're in it, so it has nothing to do with what the person is like. It's a decision that you have to make if your marriage is going to work. Amen. And then he says, now once that is sorted out, you know, love her like you love yourself. He then says, and let the wife see that she respects and reverences her husband. Yeah, that's what the Bible says. And then the Bible says, look, I better break down what respect and reverence is. And then he goes on to say that she notices him. Yeah, you know, it's a tragedy for a man not to be noticed in his home. You know, sometimes I come through the door
and you know, children are playing games, and you know, and when Ify was here, she's doing something, and I come into the house after about 5 minutes, I just start shouting. I say, doesn't anybody know that somebody has come into this house? Somebody has come into this house, please, please. And then when the children say, oh, hello, daddy, and then, you know, she says what she has to say, I said, hey, somebody came into this house, please, notice me. But do you know that a woman can come in and understand why the children won't notice her, and understand why her husband won't notice her, and make an excuse for him that he's busy, that's why he didn't notice me. But a man, he wants to be noticed. That is scriptural, Bible. I just read it to you in the Bible. Amen. And so you can imagine when a man is not noticed, he starts to become cranky. And then it says that she notices him, that she regards him, that she honors him, that she prefers him, that she venerates him, that she esteems him, and that she defers to him, praises him, and admires him exceedingly. That's the Bible. That's the kind of creature that God gave you as a husband. And he thrives on those things. Believe me, he thrives on them. He thrives on them. Amen? And the more of them you do, the more you get from him. Yeah? I mean, ladies, should I tell you a secret about the man next to you? The more you do of those things, the more you admire him. You know, the more you respect him. It's not that women don't want respect, they want it, but the outworking of it is always different. Their own version of respect is affection and attention. Does this make some sense? And the man's own is not attention and affection like that. Yeah, so you need to understand, you know, part of the challenge in relationships is that if we don't get this kind of knowledge, we want to love each other how we want to be loved. And you know that's a disaster waiting to happen. Because what you think is love is not what your husband thinks is love. Yeah, because love for you is attention, attention, attention. You know, so he phones you 10 times a day. You know, he's into all your affairs. You know, he's asking a million and one questions. And guess what? You feel better. Isn't that true? Now, if you do the same to him, he says, you're choking me. You're making me claustrophobic. Isn't that true? I mean, when you phone him 10 times, by the fourth time, he asks you, is anything wrong? I mean, you know. But that's just different. That's just how we're different. But for him, it's these things. It's the admiration. It's the letting him know that you appreciate what he has done. It's the, you know, it's just, the Bible says, praise him. That's the Bible. Nothing unscriptural about it. Does this make some sense? You'll be shocked what it will do. You know? He'll double his output just by that. On all fronts. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember there's an incident where we're going on holiday. We're going to go on holiday, and it was tough for us, but somehow God gave me grace to swing it, found the money, paid. It was tough. We're going through a tough time, but I felt, you know, my family, Fia and the kids, then needed a holiday. And when I managed to get the money together, I paid for it. And then I overheard her on the phone to her mother talking about me. And she was telling her mother, you know, how grateful she was. She married me. That the stress I've gone through just to get this money. Do you know, as I listened, I thought, do they need another holiday? Because we will find the money for more holidays. I just felt good. And guys, isn't that the case all the time when you're appreciated for a little? Yeah. So, ladies, let's learn to appreciate even the unfinished work. Because a lot of times people are waiting for the work to be finished so they can say, well done. But somebody along the way is thinking, can't anybody just tell a man, well done for where he is? Go and appreciate God with a clap of it. Okay, we're gonna we'll take some one or two questions, we'll take a break, and then we'll do the hot potato of sex. Yeah, go on. Can you get the mic to Ife? Did this make some sense to you? Yeah?
Obviously, when we get married, we bring a lot of stuff, you know, from our homes, backgrounds and stuff like that into the relationship. You said something about, like, for instance, example, if the man has a vision and shares it, wants to share it with the wife, and he obviously does it the way you explain, like types it out and stuff like that and brings it to the wife, wouldn't it be detrimental for the wife to switch off, knowing fully well that that's the only way the husband knows how to share? Obviously, his father did that, his uncles does it, you know, that kind of thing. He also said, like, for instance, if the woman is cantankerous and all that, the man still has to love irrespective of how she is. Shouldn't the woman just accept, even though that's not how she wants the vision to be shared, but that's the only way the man knows how to share the vision? And even though you're praying for him to communicate more, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. I mean, don't forget, you know, what we're doing, we're trying to make things better. Yeah. And so that woman, you know, accepting this man as he is a measure of maturity and grace that she has. And that must be commended. But what we're trying to get across to the man, it's not that you can't type a vision and give it to your wife. Some people are organized like that. But what we're trying to get across is that there must be life in the sharing of that vision. It's not the typing. I just use that as an example. Some people are very organized. They'll say, I want to put my thoughts on paper and I'm going to give it to you. But as they share it, there is life in it. It's the difference between the spirit and the letter. Yeah, so it's not just a dead board meeting with somebody who has no attachment to you. There's the vibrancy of relationship in the sharing of the vision. So it's not the typing or the writing that's the issue. Of course, they say we should write something because it helps us to remember. And some people are very organized and they do that. But it's to ensure that in doing that, we don't kill the vibrancy of relationship. You know, so that the relationship is pulsating with life, so that in sharing the vision, messages are being sent, messages of affirmation, of affection, of care, of love, so that, like the Bible says, it's not the dead letter, but it has the spirit in it. Does that make some sense? Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Yes. You mentioned, well, I seen the scripture that a man should love his wife as himself. Based on situation, some men go through hurts in life, background.
Yeah.
Sometimes a man doesn't really love himself that much.
Yeah. Yeah. Valid point. Very valid point.
Sometimes a man finds it difficult to appreciate his own self, love himself. So in that case, it put a strain on loving his wife.
Absolutely. And you know, that's, don't forget, part of what the church should do. The church is like a correctional institute, you know, where we come with wounds and we're battered, we're bruised, we're dysfunctional. We should come into church and start getting healed, start getting more functional. So a man who didn't know how to love himself because of what he's been through comes to church and learns to love himself in Christ. You know, he learns to see himself as Christ sees him. His esteem comes back. The wounds are starting to heal. And so such a man, with each passing day, his marriage should get better, because the more he sees himself in Christ, the more he can love his wife with that godly